Good evening. In the news tonight, a resounding victory for New York City's mayor.
It's a mandate for fairness.
And for the new Democratic governor of New Jersey.
I have campaigned on one very clear pledge. I've got your back.
The first New Jersey mayor from the Sikh community.
Now is the time for us to come together as a community.
A new Democratic governor in Virginia.
I want you to know how humbled and honored I am to have your trust.
And the first transgender woman in Virginia's House.
This election has to prove nationwide that discrimination is a disqualifier.
With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. New York City voters decided on Tuesday to send 56-year-old Bill de Blasio back to City Hall for four more years. For details on the mayoral race here in New York City and other New York City races, as well as the ballot initiatives, here's Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
The incumbent Democrat, first elected in 2013 with about 73% of the vote, came in a little bit behind that number at about 66%, which could be expected after someone has spent an initial 4 years making tough government decisions. And de Blasio has had his share of mistakes for sure. But he did fairly well, and New York voters decided that they like the direction the city is headed with fairly low crime, job numbers being up, and a variety of programs de Blasio has instituted to follow up on his pledge to seek a more equitable city. The second place finisher in the mayoral race was Republican Staten Island Assemblymember Nicole Malliotakis, who got about 28% of the vote. Malliotakis won her home borough of Staten Island over de Blasio resoundingly, but the mayor won the other four boroughs by fairly significant margins. De Blasio is not the only incumbent Democrat heading back to citywide post. The comptroller Scott Stringer and the public advocate Letitia James were both easily reelected by even larger margins than de Blasio as they faced more meager Republican competition. Stringer, James, and de Blasio will now return to their positions for a second four-year term before all of them are term limited out in 2021, assuming they all serve those 4 years. Stringer and James are very much interested in being the mayor after de Blasio, as are multiple borough presidents and all five borough presidents won re-election on Tuesday. They're Democrats in four boroughs and on Staten Island Republican James Otto. The Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. and the Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams are clearly interested in running for mayor down the line as well. Queens Borough President Melinda Katz and Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer may also look to seek higher office, perhaps on the citywide level, at some point. But for now, at the top of city government, there's a lot of continuity, and voters decided to stick with those who've been in office the past 4 years. They didn't necessarily have that much choice on the ballot. As is often the case, there's more competition in Democratic primaries, although even this year, that was not the case for the borough-wide and citywide positions. It was much more the case in some city council races, where a few incumbents had some tough challengers in the Democratic primaries, and then where there's open seats due to term limits this year, there were often crowded Democratic primaries and intense competitions where there was much less so in Tuesday's general election. However, there were some interesting results, namely for some of the seats where there was competition in the general. Seats in southern Brooklyn and out in Queens. One significant result is that it appears that incumbent Democratic City Council member Elizabeth Crowley may be losing her seat in a surprise upset to a Republican challenger, Bob Holden, who actually came in second in the Democratic primary to Crowley, but that vote looks like it's heading towards a recount. Otherwise, a few incumbent City Council members who were sweating a little bit in the general all won. And in those open seats, the winners of the Democratic primaries went on to win, even though in a couple there was a little bit of question about how they would do. So it wasn't just candidates on the ballot on Tuesday. There were also three ballot questions on the back of your ballot. The question that was most controversial was Proposition 1, whether New York should hold a state constitutional convention. There was a lot of money spent trying to sway this vote, mostly in a no direction, and that's where it went. It was a little bit of a wider margin than most people expected, with about 83% of voters around the state saying no to a constitutional convention on the ballot question that is mandated to appear every 20 years. So it looks like unless the state legislature calls a constitutional convention to update, modernize, and adjust the state constitution, we'll be looking at a vote in 2037. It will be up to state legislators and the governor in Albany to make some of the changes to state law that the proponents of a constitutional convention were seeking, like term limits for legislators, for example, or ethics reforms in other directions, campaign finance reform, different protections for reproductive freedoms and civil rights in other directions. But it is unclear how much movement there will be given the nature of New York state government. Meanwhile, though, there were two other ballot measures, and they both passed. Ballot Proposal 2 was related to judges being able to strip or reduce state pensions of elected officials convicted of felonies related to their jobs, in other words, public corruption. That passed overwhelmingly. And Proposition 3 was much closer, and I'm not sure a lot of voters really recognize what was at stake here, but it relates to protected and preserved lands in the Adirondacks being opened up a small amount for necessary infrastructure projects, and that passed. So other than one city council seat in Queens, we now know what the next 4 years of city government will look like. And we can start to look ahead to the 2018 elections, which will be state-level elections and all of the U.S. House seats in New York and around the country, as well as some U.S. Senate seats. The major focus for 2018 will be on the gubernatorial race in New York, where Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to seek a third term, on certain swing House races in New York, and of course, the balance of power in the New York State Senate, where Republicans are hanging on to a very slim margin, in part with the help of some rogue Democrats who either caucus or coalesce with the GOP conference. So there's a lot to digest over the last couple of months of 2017 and a lot to look forward to in 2018. For WBAI, this is Ben Max from Gotham Gazette.
Bill de Blasio's first term was dogged by feuds with Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo and investigations into campaign donations and pay-to-play politics. He's hoping to put this behind him as he focuses on changes he says are needed. De Blasio says in a second term, he'll stand up to the policies of Donald Trump. In a news conference today, he says New Yorkers handed him a mandate.
It's a mandate for fairness, to make this the fairest big city in America. And I am very humbled to accept that mandate and to turn it into a reality. People want this to be a more just place. They want this to be an inclusive place, a place of opportunity for all. And there's a deep sense all over the city that we need to keep what is great about New York great for generations to come. It needs to be a place for everyone. And it needs to be an open place, not a place that becomes exclusive. And that's the mandate I'm ready to act on right away.
The mayor says he intends to give New Yorkers more changes to unify the city, that the whole nation looks to New York City as a model. De Blasio says his focus will continue on education and housing, and that he'll work for greater trust between the police and communities. De Blasio says in Albany he'll continue to fight for the millionaire's tax and on fixing the electoral law to allow greater access to polls for all New Yorkers.
This is, as I said last night, it's the beginning of a new era in the city. I'm very clear about that. What we saw around the country last night and we saw here is that people are waking up. They want change. They're getting more involved. They're going to reclaim their democracy.
De Blasio says this is the beginning of the era of progressive Democrats. In other races, Democratic Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown was elected to a fourth term. Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan and Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren, also Democrats, were reelected. Further downstate, voters in the Hudson River town of Monroe voted to break off the fast-growing Hasidic village of Kiryas Joel, this into a new independent town called Palm Tree. Proponents hope creation of the new town will reduce long-standing tensions between the ultra-Orthodox village and surrounding residents. Meanwhile, Democrats won the county executive race in suburban Westchester and up Nassau County. In Westchester, George Latimer defeated two-term incumbent Rob Astorino, who conceded shortly before midnight last night. Latimer, a state senator, won 57% of the vote, compared to 43% for Astorino, who was considered a possible challenger to Democratic Governor Cuomo next year. In Nassau County, another win for Democrats. Laura Curran defeated Republican Jack Martins to win the county executive's position. Looking at her supporters last night, Curran says, "You are the change agents who delivered this victory.
You worked tirelessly for our campaign, despite being up against what sometimes seemed like insurmountable odds, facing a political machine that has proven it knows how to win. I am proud to say we have defeated the machine. And it's because of you that we can start reforming Nassau County. When I announced my candidacy 51 weeks ago, it was actually a rainy Tuesday like today, it was based on a very simple idea, that we could give Nassau County a fresh start. And tonight we have taken the momentous step towards turning that idea into a reality. Of everything you all have done already, I have one last task. Are you ready for it?
Yes!
All right. This isn't something that's going to be finished tomorrow or next week or even next year. This is what I am asking you to do. Please hold me accountable. Hold everyone in government accountable. Because tonight we enter into a new era. And I promise that I will fight for the vision that you bought into that made this success tonight.
Laura Curran, the new Nassau County executive, speaking in Baldwin, Long Island last night. Curran replaces the Republican Ed Mangano, who faces federal corruption charges. In New Jersey, an indication that the policies of Donald Trump and his supporter, Chris Christie, don't sit well with voters. Democrat Phil Murphy coasted to victory with 56% of the vote. In recent days, Democrats including Joe Biden, Tom Perez, John Kerry, and Barack Obama stumped for Murphy. He defeated the Republican Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno.
Let me be the first to say greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Up and down this state, from the shore to the Delaware River, from the Pine Barrens to the Skylands, in cities and suburbs, I have campaigned on one very clear pledge. I've got your back.
The governor-elect says leadership has failed New Jersey. He declared the day of division over. Murphy says that to believe in each of us is to believe in all of us.
18 months ago, I chose to run for governor on a belief that New Jersey's best days are before us, that our future is unlimited, and that we have been failed by leadership which forgot what it meant to dream big. For 541 days, we have asked New Jerseyans to join us. First, we did a whole lot of listening. Then we asked folks to listen to our ideas and to decide for themselves if they wanted a change in direction. The military veteran uneasy about his access to health care. The young person simply hoping for an equal opportunity to work. The woman worried if her Planned Parenthood clinic will be open so she can get a cancer screening. The victim of anti-Semitic or other hateful actions. The senior citizen losing sleep over whether she'll be able to continue to stay in her home, and the college graduate doubtful if they can even ever afford a home. The parents anxious about the funding of their children's school and also anxious about protecting them from gun violence. The small business owner concerned about her long-term prospects in an economy that is stubbornly stalled and unfair. And many, many others. Today, in resounding fashion, they gave us their answer.
60-year-old Phil Murphy is a former Wall Street Goldman Sachs banker with no experience in office. He's now New Jersey's 56th governor, officially ending the 8-year reign of Chris Christie and the Republicans there in New Jersey. Christie, who is polling around 14%, leaves the office as one of the most unpopular governors in the country. And in Hoboken, New Jersey, voters came out against racial bias and division as City Council member Ravi Bala was elected mayor. Bala becomes the first Sikh mayor in the state of New Jersey. It was a contentious six-person race. Bala sent out campaign mailers saying he'll stand up to Donald Trump if he's elected. Another side used race baiting, sending out doctored campaign flyers which read, "Don't let terrorism take over our town!" exclamation point. This was written above a picture of Bala wearing a turban. His victory party last night in a Hoboken bar was packed.
Now is the time for us to come together as a community. We've had a competitive race, but we're one family in Hoboken, and I look forward to working with all my council colleagues to move Hoboken forward together.
Bala also said to the crowd, "Thank you for having faith in me, for having faith in our community, faith in our state, and faith in our country. This is what America is all about." He told his supporters, "We've been through a bruising campaign, but now it's the time to come together and see who we can work with to bring this city forward." Bala is a lifelong New Jersey resident and attorney. He was endorsed by the current mayor, Dawn Zimmer, the first woman mayor of Hoboken, who announced she would not seek a third term in office. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. A win in Virginia is being hailed as part of a tidal wave by Democrats. They sent out emails today saying, "This is just the beginning. This is what a wave looks like. Good people decided their act of resistance would be to run for office. People who ran on expanding Medicaid, more investment in public education, and higher pay for workers won." Phil Northam, the state's lieutenant governor, beat Republican Ed Gillespie 54% to 45%. Donald Trump tweeted from China this morning, "Ed Gillespie worked hard but did not embrace me or what I stand for. Don't forget, Republicans won 4 out of 4 House seats, and with the economy doing record numbers, we will continue to win even bigger than before!" Exclamation point. And while Northam's win is a blow for Trump, the new governor has been controversial in Democratic circles for waffling on whether he'd stand up for sanctuary cities in Virginia. In his victory speech last night, though, he said he'd work to end the politics that have torn this country apart.
"I want you to know how humbled and honored I am to have your trust to serve as the 73rd governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia."
Virginia Democratic Governor-elect 58-year-old pediatrician and Army veteran Phil Northam.
"Having grown up on a small farm on Virginia's eastern shore, I have worked very hard, but I've had wonderful opportunities, and I want Virginians to have those same opportunities. And you know, as I travel around the Commonwealth, I listen to a lot of folks, and what I hear is, number one, Virginians want a job that they can support themselves and their families with. They want to make sure that their children have access to a world-class education. They want to make sure that all of us as Virginians have access to affordable and quality health care. They want to make sure that we live in environments where the air and water are clean. They want to live in communities that are safe, where there are not guns on every street corner. And finally, something that I am so proud of and I remind you all the time, we live in a very diverse society. It is getting more diverse every day. It is that
diverse society that makes this country great. And as long as I'm governor, I will make sure that we're inclusive, that we welcome people to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Our lights will be on. Our doors will be open.
Some of Ralph Northam's election night victory speech at his campaign headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia.
This election has to prove nationwide that discrimination is a disqualifier.
Danica Rome is now the first openly transgender person to be elected to the Virginia State Legislature.
Every person who's ever been singled out, who's ever been stigmatized, who's ever been the misfit, who's ever been the kid in the corner, who's ever needed someone to stand up for them when they didn't have a voice of their own because there's no one else who is with them. This one's for you.
Rome defeated the conservative who has been in the state assembly for the past 26 years, Republican Bob Marshall. He pushed for a bill to restrict bathrooms transgender people could use. He was also in favor of a constitutional amendment defining marriage between a man and a woman. And he touted a bill banning LGBT from openly serving in the Virginia National Guard. The win is a game changer in Virginia. Danica Rome is a former reporter whose focus is to fix Route 28. In her hometown. She spoke this morning on WTTV TV in Washington, D.C.
When we're talking about it, it's being historic, yeah, it will be historic when a transgender woman finally helps fix Route 28, because that's what I'm here to do. I mean, like, this is why I ran. I was very, very specific about the issues I was running on, my qualifications, being a reporter myself. You know, I was worked for the Gainesville Times here for 9 years, 2 months, and 2 weeks. I was the news editor of the Montgomery County Sentinel over in Maryland. And so, you know, local journalism is where I learned public policy. And I'm going to bring a reporter's sensibilities to Richmond here so that we can actually accomplish the things I'm setting out to do without hyperbole, without discrimination, and basically making sure that we create a more inclusive Commonwealth. So no matter what you look like, where you come from, how you worship, or who you love, you are welcomed and celebrated in Virginia because of who you are, not despite it.
Rome is a former reporter who sings in a metal band Cab Ride Home in her spare time. She won 54% of the 22,000 votes cast in the Northern Virginia House of Delegates district outside the nation's capital.
I believe in accountability. Every reporter who covers the General Assembly will have my cell phone number. And the same, you know, I gave out my cell phone number to thousands of people across the 13th district in handwritten notes for the last 10 months. I understand that accountability is extremely important and that having transparency and open dialogue with neutral, disinterested third-party observers, reporters, I want to make sure that, you know, by having transparency, we know that sunshine is the best disinfectant, and the best way that I can do my job is to make sure that we're shining a light on as much of the General Assembly as possible so people can see the legislative process and basically be able to go, you know what? I like how this is going, or I don't, and they're going to be able to talk to their own legislators about that to create change if they need to, or say, hey, how come you won't record a vote in subcommittee? How come you won't do X, Y, and Z stuff? And also by, you know, electing a reporter and by electing, you know, someone with my profile right now, I don't have to take money from for-profit corporations and, you know, their business associates in order to be successful. As far as I'm concerned, look at our fundraising on this. I mean, you know, I don't need them in order to do a good job. And I said, and I mean it, I will not take any campaign contributions as a candidate or an incumbent from Dominion Energy because of their outsized influence in Richmond. We have got to change the culture in Richmond. And sending two reporters between myself and Chris Hurst, that's a great start.
Rome is talking about a former Virginia news anchor whose journalist girlfriend was fatally shot, this during a live broadcast in 2015. Chris Hurst defeated an NRA-backed Republican incumbent in a state House race. He spoke today on CNN.
Allison and Adam Ward's death connected me to humanity more than anything else. That I, through tragedy, had a shared experience and a common bond with so many people who have gone through tragedy, who have gone through loss. And now, unfortunately, as we have seen in recent events, have also gone through the tragedy and horror of losing a loved one through gun violence. But it connected me to my community. It galvanized me to my community. You know, only through fire can that steel be forged stronger. And it made me want to stay in no place other than in Southwest Virginia and Appalachia, but I couldn't stay at the station anymore. It became too emotionally difficult for me to stay there. And so what could I do that would be a natural progression to be able to give back to a community, to a people that gave me so much strength, love, prayer, and support when I needed it? And this seemed like the right thing to do.
Allison Parker was a reporter for a Virginia TV station when she and her photographer, Adam Ward, were fatally shot during a live television broadcast. And a final note, while Democrats spin the wins as a mandate for their party, polls indicate that Americans don't trust the Democratic Party. A CNN poll gives it a 37% approval rating. That's the same approval rating that 538 finds for Donald Trump, who also sits at 37% approval rating. And that's some of the news for Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. The news was produced with Ben Max and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
From stacking.